Please be advised, this series contains harsh language and potentially triggering material. Content warnings are in the description. Last time, on Ombligo del Diablo, the crew got into a fatal encounter with a group of mole men, including an unkillable man cursed by Mammon. Val got a little too hands-on. Murph tried to protect her friends. Jamie got to see her sweaters at work. Oliver made a friend. And Vincent put a cursed man out of his misery. The road out of the tunnels is long, but we now join our team near the end.
All right. Welcome to Ombligo del Diablo. My name is Elf, and I tell the gods what to do, and they're not very nice about it. Allow us to introduce ourselves. First up, we have James.
Hi, I'm James. I play Oliver Haldison, who is currently rolling around in some caves and subjugating others to his will.
Yay, slavery 101. All right, Ginger.
Hello, I am Ginger. I am playing Murph, your best friend with a mild murder problem, a slightly more moderate drug problem, and a major crush.
All right, Matt.
Hey, I'm Matt. I play Jamie. She's a geologist and occult researcher, and we're all in this, I don't know, mage underdark traveling between Ombligo del Diablo and I think San Diego.
Sam?
Hello, my name is Sam and I play Val Hernandez. I gotta think something clever. Yes, I play Val Hernandez, who's finally done a murder.
Yay, murder!
Woo!
Yay!
Welcome to the family.
Three murders, in fact.
All right, Dan.
Huzzah, three cheers.
I am Dan. I play Vincent Braddock, who is as Vincent Braddock as Vincent Braddock is.
Lies.
All right. Is anyone going to buy anything with experience points?
Well, I certainly am.
Yes.
Let's start with Ginger.
Hello, it me. Okay, so first of all, I am buying Correspondence 2 and taking the rote scrying. Very excited about it. And then I'm also spending 9 more XP to get a 3 in firearms.
Great. All right. And Matt?
I'm buying Prime Uno so I can see the magic finally.
Excellent. Okay, Sam?
Yes, I am taking my third 15 XP pip in strength because I feel like there's going to be a brawl coming up soon. I need to be prepared for it.
Okay. How about Dan?
Vincent is dropping 15 points to grab time 3 and the road haste.
Nice. Okay. James?
I am saving my XP. Thank you for giving me the time to consider.
Well, all right. That was anticlimactic.
Hush you.
It was really hard to choose between time 3 and stamina 3.
Ooh.
Guys, he wasn't doing things secretly for a moment there. We know he has time magic.
Yes, though not nearly as much time magic as no magic magic.
Not nearly enough.
There was time now. There was time.
Not
all right.
Bad. Hey, makes me sad.
Okay, so we shall move on to your hopes and fears. James, what do you hope for?
I hope that I can reform this lost soul without them escaping and or dying.
Oh, and what do you fear?
I fear that in the process I am destroying something. I don't know if that's too abstract.
That's not nearly too abstract. You're fine. What about Murph?
What does Murph hope?
Can I just say that Elf has the most beautiful radio voice today? I'm not sucking up because I don't want to die. I'm just saying. So I actually don't think my hopes or fears have really changed because I believe they're both still relevant, which is figuring out what is wrong with Vincent is my short term and irreparable damage to my relationship with Vincent is my long term.
Okay. What about your fears?
Oh, that was my fear, was irreparable damage to my relationship with Vincent.
All right, Jamie?
My current fear is just basic safety fear. for us getting out of here. And I guess I'm going to extend that to Penelope. And then my hope is, I don't know, I've got to think, because that one changed from last one. Come back for a hope.
All right. And Val?
Long-term hope and fear are going to stay the same. That I'm going to save my sisters is my hope. And these people that I care about are going to abandon me unintentionally is my fear. And it's a bit metagamey because I know that we're getting out of the tunnels like at the very top of the session. So my hopes and fears are based off of that rather than where we are now.
That but is correct to do.
Temporary hope is that I can visit a grave. And my temporary fear is that I'm going to lose the opportunity to right the wrongs done to Emily.
Very well. What does Vincent hope for?
Shall I say it out loud or shall we get some privacy?
That is up to you.
You know what? We're getting close. Fuck it if they know out of character at this point, right?
Yes!
Long-term hope. I feel good. I feel alive. I want more of it. Short-term hope. Leverage my advantages over others. That one is new. Long-term fear. Being forced to serve others again. Short-term fear. Someone does something stupid that makes me kill them when I didn't plan on it.
All right. Warm, fuzzy feelings.
Oh, no.
So, let's go over your guys' arrangements just real quick. Run down for us. Oliver?
Right. So, my initial one is no one truly cares for him. The second is a token of victory. The third is megalomania. No one can care for themselves. They need to be fixed. And the fourth is snap judgment. I am never wrong about people.
Oh, all those go very well with a mind slave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how about Murph?
All right. My temporary, which I feel like I should put in quotations at this point because it's not very temporary, but obsessed with figuring out why Mrs. Finn sympathized with me. First level is overprotective. When I'm away from people, they get hurt physically or emotionally. Second is kamikaze. I can't protect people by just being close. I need to put myself in the most direct line of fire. Third is stay out of this. I need to stop the people I care about from getting hurt by outsiders by whatever means necessary. And fourth level is judge, jury, and executioner. I can see the truth better than most, and I am the most capable to act upon it. Some people deserve a death sentence.
That's a nice lot of crazy. Okay, how about Jamie?
I don't have that much crazy, just a little bit of crazy. I have a compulsion to be overly prepared, and I have a compulsion to be an overly sane and rational person, and I have a compulsion to study the demon-human interaction demonology kind of stuff going on, which is more a temporary thing. Yeah.
All right. How about Val?
All righty. So from the bottom, I got to make void beings real. I need to speak to people's shadows. Every story needs its villain, and I am that villain. And my friends need to hate me so they aren't sad when I die, and they make that so fucking hard.
Okay.
Like, how dare you?
How about Vincent?
Okay, Vincent, level one, can't be without a gun. My level two is my PTSD. My level three is Vincent shot first. And then the one that accounted for the more great shift after that, which is more or less representative of two, is seize power by whatever means, is how I've abridged the way I phrased it before.
Okay, now, does anyone have a ritual that they super need?
Yes.
Oh?
Put soul into body. Add soul. Stir three times.
Spirit four, soul binding.
Yep.
That is too vague. That is what Spirit 4 does, but there's so many different ways and versions of that, and your ritual must be a specific way or version of it. Is this traditional voodoo necromancy?
No, I think it's more Frankenstein's monster style.
Okay, how about It's Alive?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
All right, mind you, things will always come back changed.
We can fix that.
Of course.
Or just be okay with it. Whatever.
Indeed.
Anyone else?
Yeah. I got one I want to do.
A resonant x-ray. I want to be able to take x-rays of a place and see what the resonance of the place is.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. So fourth is in prime ritual.
psychometric photography or psychometric crystallography, I suppose.
Okay. Next, does anyone else have a ritual, or is that all?
I was thinking I might gain a resource or a background. I mean,
what is that?
Retainer.
Oh yes, yes you do. You gain a retainer.
Okay.
That happens. Okay, and I think that's all.
Indeed, I don't think that I have any new rituals because I have so many that I have not used.
Yes.
So, fun facts.
Tell us something about Oliver.
Oliver, when he was a kid, went spelunking in like one of those caves that's really well, you know, explored and has like the metal paths down them. And he has never stopped having nightmares about the desire to run into the darkness.
Huh. That must have been interesting the last 2 weeks.
Luckily, he's kind of awake all the time and can, if he wants to, not dream.
Dreams you can certainly stop. Nightmares, less so, especially when your paradox is high.
Yeah. What is my paradox doing right now? It's not the worst.
Okay. Fun fact about Murph.
A fun fact about Murph. On her left hand, so her non-trigger finger, pointer finger, is slightly shorter than her right due to a carpentry-related accident as a child.
Lost the tip of a finger on a saw?
Yeah, she just really enthusiastically was trying to help her dad make something.
Hmm. That must have been some very special times.
They were. Before the crazy.
Okay. How about Jamie?
When Jamie was growing up in foster care, and when she was about 13, she stole a car and drove about three states over. She grew up mainly in New York, but she made it down to, like, Connecticut. And, yeah, that was a thing.
I imagine that must have made things interesting around the foster home. Did they keep her after that?
No. Nobody kept her ever, so that wasn't a thing.
Okay.
How's it feel, Jamie? How's it feel? Sucks, huh?
Okay. How about Val?
Val played soccer throughout high school and did have the opportunity to go to a college with a really good women's soccer team on a full ride sports scholarship. But obviously that was not something she was interested in, so she did not take that. She went to a completely different university.
Huh. What's Val's athletics?
Two.
She's kept it up.
She's less... Yeah, no, I mean, less running around now. I mean, think about it. She probably hasn't had as much work to do physically at the sanctuary that never gets anything.
Yeah. Too much of a sedentary lifestyle, bringing down those... old reflexes.
Yep.
All right. Well, good that you're having some time for a nice constitutional in the dark. How about Vincent?
When Vincent was about 7 years old, you know, his schooling hadn't been very strong. And he always wondered if the stars looked different depending on where you were at. Turns out they don't. It's always the same, unless light from below swallows it up, but they're all still waiting there for him.
Hmm.
Well, let's see how long it takes Vincent to get swallowed up by the stars.
Mm-hmm.
So, 10 days have passed. 10 long days walking in the darkness. And in that time, you guys have some experiences to catch up on.
Let me go and bring those up.
Boy, oh boy, I'm looking forward to this.
Oh boy.
Uh-huh.
Who would like to go first? Would we like to handle Vince's Bible study or Murph trying to sleep?
Let's go with Vincent first, shall we?
All right. Here are a few passages that remarkably stood out when you were reading through your marked Bible. The one that you recovered from Orpheel's drawer and have been studying with his unusual demarcations and scribblings in the liners and a few gashes, burns, and bullet holes as this Bible has seen long days.
Perhaps even has a few ahead of it.
Perhaps. The first one that you come across. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This place is a desert."
Okay.
The second. "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole."
Oh, God damn it. Okay.
The last one that you sort of feel this cold rush when you read it, and it was highlighted in red. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it.
I think upon reading that, Vincent angrily shut the book and shoved it in his bag.
Yeah, that one was the weirdest, because it had your name written in wax pencil next to it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Vincent, like, put it in his bag suspiciously. Like, he would have been in a huff.
Indeed.
When's the last time a Bible mocked you?
Less often than it has for Oliver, I think.
Murph.
Yes?
As you lay you down to sleep, a dream washes over you. A somewhat lucid dream.
Okay.
You find yourself at your home. Your mother looks very young, barely older than you do now. And she's holding a baby with wispy red hair sort of stuck to its head. And she has it in a crib, and she's praying over it.
Can I hear, like, what kind of prayers?
Dear God, please protect my child. I will offer you my life and my devotion to spare this child from harm and bring
her good fortune for all of her days.
And it's a nice prayer, a pleasant one, but she's saying it over and over. And she's sort of wringing her hands. Her hands are turning white and then sort of raw and red in places.
I would try to stop her from wringing her hands.
When you put your hand on her, she seems not to notice you.
I continue to make efforts anyway.
Okay. The man that walks in the door, a man in a long black robe, perhaps, some loose garment, with a hood over his head, and you can just see a pair of glowing yellow eyes looking out. He walks up to her, and he says, "The one you are praying to will not answer, but I am here."
Oh, no.
As your mother turns up her eyes to look at her, there's a banging on the window, and you see Angela. Her hair is gray. She looks 50s or 60s, maybe. And she's banging on the glass and yelling.
Oh, Lord.
The two inside don't seem to see her.
I've run over to the window.
The window isn't real. It's the window just goes, it goes into a small room about 3 feet by 3 feet. It looks like Angela's trapped inside it. And although the hooded figure doesn't seem to see Angela banging on the glass, it does look straight into you and takes a couple steps over to you. And you feel a hand on your shoulder and this deep voice saying, "I'll never let you come to harm." Then he's gone.
Who?
The man in the black robe is gone. And Angela's gone. Your mother is gone. And you hear your name being called out from upstairs. It's daytime now. The house looks older. But you hear a voice calling.
Is it a voice I recognize?
You can't tell because it seems to be from the ceiling.
Okay. Go that way.
As you head upstairs, you recognize the voice is your father's, but it's growing weak. And you see your father, he is older. He has no hair at all. And he's reaching out, calling Murph.
He doesn't even have eyebrows.
And his skin just looks two sizes too big. Standing by his side is Angela. But she looks much older here, like 30 years older, 20 years older, you're not sure. But her hair is white, and she's holding his hand, and he's reaching out, and he looks through you. He doesn't see you.
Well, I mean, I go to him anyway and just try to make contact.
Your hand passes through his, and he does not see you. But he just keeps calling.
Does Angela appear to be able to see me?
She looks at you, and she smiles sadly, and she looks back down at him. And both of them are gone, and it's night again, and it's raining, thunder cracks in the background, and you are alone.
The room is empty. The bed is made.
And there's a tapping on the window, second story window.
Just like in a daze at this point, I go look and see.
Mrs. Finn is at the window, but she seems to be floating above the ground. She's tapping at the window, and she seems to be motioning to ask you to open it.
Well, I do.
She holds out her hand and says, "Something I need to show you."
So you can see me?
She nods and says, "Of course. I can always see you."
Okay, I'll take her hand.
The two of you float out of the window, and the garage has been somehow replaced with this small, old 1700s adobe mission-style building, barely the size of a single-horse stable. And as you're flying over there, you're getting wet from the rain. It is cold. As you enter the little room, there's a little fireplace, and Mrs. Finn lights up fire in the fireplace with a little lighter, and then immediately she steps back from it, too far for her to feel the heat from it. And there's a crib. A baby is crying, but Mrs. Finn doesn't seem to hear it.
What does the kid look like?
You go over to the crib, and there's a baby, almost a toddler, and it has blonde hair.
Somehow you can tell that the baby is Angela.
Ha!
And that's when you wake up.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
I mean, after a dream like that, Oliver would be the first person I would look for.
I'm sure Oliver can explain these dreams.
Oh no, that's not what I was thinking.
Oh,
I'm sure Oliver can erase these dreams.
Not exactly.
Does she wake up in the middle of the night and start moving towards me? And I just get up before she gets a chance to wiggle me?
Do you get up before, or do you wait until after she wiggles you? It's less disconcerting if you wait until after.
I think Oliver actually gets up before she wiggles him.
And I just assume that this is, you know, good fortune that he happened to be awake.
What's going on?
Do you have anything for, like, anxiety?
Oh, absolutely. Let me see here.
And I open up my doctor's bag and make like a show of looking around inside.
Well, now this is an herbal extract mixed in with a little bit of spider venom. It'll do you nicely. Now, you chew on that. Don't swallow. Spit it out once you're done. Tell Uncle Oliver what's going on.
I had a dream. I think I might have cursed my mom.
Why would you say that if it was just a dream?
Oh, I have, just like you, special dreams.
Oh, well, I believe you. Did anyone help you get to this dream?
Nope, just my own noggin. There was a guy that was like, and my mom was like praying, and he was like, well, the person you're praying to isn't gonna hear you, and I think he might have been like the devil or something, and she was like praying to protect me, and I think I might have cursed my mom to like death.
Well, now that sounds far-fetched, but if you say it's true, I have no choice but to believe you. So you believe you had this power as a child, or did you do it in reverse? Did you?
I think I'm not a big, like, religious person, you know? I don't really believe God exists, and I kind of blame him a lot for my mom's death because she, like, tried to do the pray it away method and, like, didn't, you know, go look for actual, like, medical help. But, like, what if she was praying for something to help me and God wasn't the one that answered? It was some, like, demon or something?
Oliver looks over at Valerie and Vincent very quickly and says, well, now that sounds like something that could happen. But if that's the case, you were a child. There's no way you could have made that decision consciously.
No, but if I didn't exist, then she wouldn't have needed to pray to protect anything, and some kind of demon wouldn't have gotten into her head in the first place. Ah!
Now, remember, if these things do exist, which they obviously do, because you're telling me they do, it's not you, it's them. It's like saying someone broke into your house and shot your mom. if you weren't there, maybe they wouldn't have seen a light on. Existing is never, never sin in and of itself.
Huh.
Are just we being able to hear all this?
I guess I would be trying to whisper more. I just don't want to whisper right now because I'm not able to be heard.
I don't think that Murph is trying to whisper.
Oh, not really. Yeah.
Then, yeah, people are waking up.
Yep, definitely.
Armando wakes up, looks over, sees a bunch of people rattling off in English, and goes back to sleep.
Oliver actually, like, lights a match, because it's, I assume, dark, and says, just by being here, we could attract all sorts of nasty. Does that make it my fault for being here at all?
Francine says, no, Oliver, it's not your fault.
Francine, I really appreciate your help right now, but we'll talk later.
We will?
Yeah. You guys should have a conversation later. Also, I think my dad might be, like, dying. 1 second, and I will try to make a connection with him.
Can Oliver help her do this?
You are only one day out of, you're only a few hours walk from the end of the tunnels, where you will be able to use your cell phone. You do not have your correspondence to quite yet.
Nope. But I'm trying anyway, because this is the panicked thoughts of a person that feels like they might have just seen their dad dying.
Okay.
I mean, is it possible that Oliver can, because he does have correspondence, to sort of make the connection through her?
Has never met Pop-Pop. And his route, I believe, requires him having conversed with the person.
Yeah, communication. That's what I was thinking. It would have to be like a mind to correspondence combo.
Yep, which you can do, but your version of it requires familiarity to work in with people's minds. It would be out of your paradigm to be able to do it for someone you've never met.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could help you, Murph, but I've never spoken with your father.
Is something going on? Oh God, how early is it? Oliver, everything all right?
Sorry, everyone. There was a nightmare. You know how it is. Little girl crawls into bed with Papa.
That came out entirely wrong. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about it. They know what you meant. They knew what you meant. I think I might have cursed my mom to death, and I think my dad might be dying. So if we could get out of the tunnels rapidly, that would be great.
I ask,
is it Eduardo?
Armando.
Armando. In Spanish. Armando. How long till we possibly get out of here? 1 day, 2 days?
It says, 8 hours, but 4 of them are sleeping. He turns back over.
Is there a possibility we could get an early start?
He rolls over. He opens his bloodshot eyes after having slept a whole 2 hours, and he says, yeah, what good is sleep for? All right, I'll pack the stuff.
I look at him with my biggest, pleadingest puppy dog eyes.
He looks at you confused.
I'll make a tea. It'll help everyone stay awake.
He says...
Everyone feel okay with that?
What language do you say that in?
Spanish and then English, for those people who don't speak Spanish.
Okay. Armando says, drugs instead of sleep. Sometimes you have to do.
That's the right kind of attitude, Armando.
I don't know if that works on me.
Well, Penelope, you never know unless you try.
No. I'm good. I don't want any of your tea.
Penelope shakes her head. No, thank you.
Oh, see, now you've spooked her off.
I mean, he does make okay tea. Just gonna go ahead and put that out there. Murph, and Val's gonna take Murph's hands and give them like a companionable squeeze. Hey, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure this one was just a nightmare, okay? We'll find out soon.
The, like, gigantic lump in my throat is telling me that it probably wasn't just a nightmare, but, like, we'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, so deep breaths. We'll get out of here soon enough, and we'll find out, and we'll deal with it then.
How long has it been since Murph's dream?
Several seconds.
Moments? Okay. I want to try an improvised ritual. I want to x-ray her brain and then have Val interpret it.
You using Prime for this?
Yeah.
All right.
So I guess it's just an adjustment of the ritual I took earlier.
Yeah, it'll be... If Murph is willing to stay still while you affix your improvised X-ray camera, then it'll work just fine.
Okay. Well, I tell her I'm going to see if it was actually magic or if it was just something, you know, that was not magical in nature.
Jamie, I appreciate you deeply, but I would rather just get moving as quickly as possible, if you don't mind.
Armando needs to pack. Let Jamie take a look. It'll give you peace of mind, and it won't take but a minute. Right, yeah. Jamie?
Armando is quickly running about, trying to get the things together.
I go over to Armando and, like, help him, but just only sort of to get in the way.
He looks. He puts up with it for about 2 minutes before he sits you down and gives you a complicated looking sleeping bag that he says,
"Okay, you have to shove this back into the little bag."
Oh God, that's the impossible task.
Yep, it takes you the rest of the time that he's packing, and he still helps you at the end.
Did we convince Murph to stay still long enough to get her brain scanned?
No, packing now, science later, please.
Your loss. Okie doke.
Okay. Not my loss, my delay.
I don't know what's going on, but whatever it is, we'll handle it together, all right?
I might have cursed my mom to death, and my dad might be dying. So, like, if I could snap, I would snap.
Murph, I'm moving as fast as I can. You just, like I said, whatever it is, curses or no curses, we'll do it together.
Murph, get to chewing.
Uh-huh. I thought you didn't believe in curses.
I believe whatever the fuck you believe in is affecting you, Murph. Real or not, it's important.
Mm-hmm. So I think we get a move on.
All right.
Elf, may I ask you a question real quick?
Yes.
Is it possible that any time during this trip, Oliver could have woken up in the midst of the night and attempted to talk to Val's shadow?
I love this. Please.
Yes, definitely. You felt like it was listening, though it didn't seem to speak back. What did you say? Unless it's really interesting.
Oliver sort of pecked at it a couple nights, just was like, "Hey, I know you're there. You going to hide all night?" And would wait 10, 15 minutes for it to respond, and when nothing happened, eventually just started telling it random things and, like, seeing if Val did anything weird the next day.
Val did not seem to act upon any of the information given to the shadow.
He eventually... I will send you a message of the things he tells the shadow.
Secret Excellent. Time.
Also, he may or may not have gone into Francis's dreams.
Francis has been more and more frequently dreaming about Oliver.
Hmm.
He seems to be becoming obsessed.
Hmm.
There were some... Early on, there were some dreams of what looked like a strange mole-shaped child and of a man who you knew to be quite handsome, despite the fact that he was obviously a mole person.
Did but he resemble any of the people who were dead?
He did. Over time, though, the child is replaced with a baby Oliver. The husband or lover was replaced with an Oliver. The father is replaced with an Oliver. It's just Olivers. Like, everyone important is an Oliver.
This is just the worst, Elf. At some point, Oliver would have said, really pressed her, possibly on like the third or fourth day, like, "Hey, is there anyone back there, you know, family? Or was the lot of you that we ran into everyone?"
There's thousands of us.
Anybody waiting for you back home?
I don't remember. No one important.
Oliver nightmares. Okay, carry on.
Okay, so you guys get your shit packed up, and Armando has everything patched together, and you guys head out.
I specifically take the front with him.
There are, I believe, 9 of you. Yes, there is Oliver, Murph, Jamie, Val, and Vincent. And then there is an old dog named Rex, Armando, a mole person named Francine that has virtually attached herself to Oliver. And then there is little Penelope, a partly transformed mole person that knows these tunnels like the back of her hand and is terrified to leave Jamie's side, as she thinks that everyone else in here is probably some sort of horrifying monster that's going to kill her.
Val, as per usual, always takes the caboose.
Okay. In about...
Reginald's here too, but that's, you know, kind of, sort of.
Reginald is in fact here in spirit.
Ha ha!
And the 10 of you, counting incorporeal beings, make your way out to where the tunnels start sloping up gently. And there's a spot where the carved rock gives way to concrete. And a little stairway leading up to a door, and light streams through the door. And Penelope is standing back, pressed against a wall.
I give her some big sunglasses, and I ask her if she wants to come with us.
She seems frozen in terror. She says, I don't want to stay, but I don't want to leave.
Well, you got to pick. It's time.
She grabs your hand tightly. Okay.
You think that's a good idea, Jamie? And Oliver, what the hell are you planning on doing with the Francine?
Well, Francine, it seems
is coming with you.
Francine, are you sure you're going to be all right? We've been discussing these last few days just the idea of being a productive citizen again, as opposed to a bandit.
She pulls out a thick nylon bag that you think used to hold some sleeping bags, and Armando, you believe, has reported missing a couple days ago. And she puts it over her head, and she walks up to the door and pulls it open.
Oh, Jamie, do you have any more sunglasses?
And yeah, she walks out, but as the sun streams through the door in direct sunlight, a beam lands on Penelope, and she screams. A cloud of smoke comes from the spot where it landed, as she hides against the wall of the cave.
Well, that happened.
Huh. I guess you're going to have to wait for night. What time is it?
It is about 4 in the afternoon. Armando says, the pickup shouldn't be here till sundown anyway. He's not supposed to show up in daytime.
I mean, I personally am ignoring all of this and scrambling upstairs to get signal.
All right. Well, your long, long, long dead phone is now up in a place where theoretically could get signal if it had any energy.
I mean, in theory, I probably turned it off, but you know.
Yeah, you turned it off weeks ago. So as you turn it on, it starts to boot up, and you notice that door opens into a small house. It looks like it's somewhere in the desert. There's a single road going up to it, and just long, flat stretches of nothing. And this little house has a brown tile floors, a single table, a little kitchen, a couple chairs, and that's about it.
All of these things are wonderful. I just have tunnel vision for the phone.
As it turns on, it is blinking 5% and seems to have one bar.
Good enough. I make the call.
Okay. You're calling your father?
Uh-huh.
The same woman answers the phone.
Wonderful. Hello?
Hello.
It's me. It's Murph. Moira, again.
Oh, we've been trying to get a hold of you.
What's going on?
We've been trying to reach you. Your father has passed. I'm sorry. It was 9 days ago. The funeral was just yesterday.
My ears are just ringing, and I just drop to my knees and stare at the wall.
Hello?
Who are you?
I'm your father's nurse.
Did you know my mom?
I never met your mother, no. I'm Mrs. Venice.
What did he pass from?
He had a brain tumor. I thought that you knew.
No, we didn't talk for a while.
Oh, I'm so sorry. He did try to reach you after you called, but he couldn't get through.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
Did they at least bury him near my mom?
Yes, they had adjoining plots. It was a lovely ceremony. I believe that there might be some financial affairs that you are still wanted to attend to.
Right.
If you could find your way to make it back into the...
Then the phone cuts out and dies.
I just look down at it and throw it as hard as I can at the nearest wall.
Yeah, Val's gonna go up the stairs at that sound.
It shatters.
Hey, Murph, what? Is everything okay? Murph?
Part of me wants to roll, like, willpower to not start tearing this building to pieces.
All right, give me a roll. Difficulty 5.
Exactly 5. Actually, more than that.
7, but you are remarkably calm. Like, you are sort of hyper-focused. Maybe it's more an issue of repression, but you're thinking almost too rationally at this moment.
Got it.
I'm guessing the
everything call went okay
through.
Up there?
Yeah.
Is your dad all right?
No.
Okay. Would you like a hug?
No, thank you.
Do you need a minute?
That's probably a good idea.
Do you want a minute? Good idea, yes. Or no? Okay. I'll tell him to give you a minute. And I go back downstairs and close the door. Let's just give her a bit of time to herself.
Penelope is still screaming and crying.
Oh, I would go and see if there's anything I can do about that, Dr. Bag style.
Seems to be instantly aggravated, further aggravated by your appearance.
Oh, would you prefer Val? I understand if you. What can I do?
Penelope is just. She says, "Don't come any closer."
I hand the bag over to Jamie. Jamie, there's some gauze in there, as well as anything else you might need. I can see from over here; it looks like a burn.
You notice that Penelope's teeth are longer. Her face seems distorted somehow.
Also, that looks a little bit strange, but backing away now. Don't you worry. Jamie, you should see to her.
Yeah, I go over. I don't know anything about doctoring people, but I wrap it up with a piece of gauze.
Okay.
Where I say, Penelope, I don't know anything about helping people, but she here. Says,
no, what's wrong with me?
You're turning into a mole person, I imagine.
No, Francine walked outside. What's happening to me?
I'm not sure.
I want to try to use diagnose for the first time ever. Well,
I also
want to
get Francine back down here so we can do a compare and contrast.
Okay. Francine is standing with her hands on her hips in a pool of sunlight with a bag on her head. Armando has gone up into the house, pulled out a warm beer from the dead fridge, and sat down at the table.
Armando, take a nap. You deserve it. And Francine, here are some sunglasses. Please come back down into the darkness with us. We just need to run some tests.
Armando just looks at you and says, "That shit you gave me? I'm not going to sleep for a week."
"Oh, I've got something else if you need to go to sleep."
"Nah, I gotta be awake. Can't fuck this part up."
"Yeah, I suppose the end is the most important part."
"This ain't the end."
"Oh.
900 miles to go."
"Whew. All right, then."
Francine stumbles back towards the stairs.
I take her arm and guide her.
She, of course, would not ask for help. And heads back down the stairs with you.
Bag off. Sunglasses on.
Val, give me an intelligence science roll for your diagnose.
Hooray. Is it intelligence science or intelligence medicine?
Medicine, sorry.
Holy 3. Shit, that's a bad one on 8 dice. Damn.
It's a bit south of normal, but it is certainly enough. 3 successes. Well, Penelope seems to be suffering from, vampirism.
And I'm sure about this.
You have never seen a vampire before, but the signs of the heartbeat seems to be faked, meaning it doesn't change with nervousness or anything else. And if you accept when you tell her that her heart should be beating faster, it starts to beat faster.
Oh my fucking god! Are the mole people the Nos? Is that what's happening?
Wait, well, what happens when you compare her to Francis?
Francine.
Yeah.
Is a living person that has no hair follicles. These are not similar creatures.
Huh. Okay. Interesting. Oliver.
Penelope is just saying,
yes.
What's wrong with me?
You got a rosary or something? I don't carry that shit on me.
I think Oliver would. Weirdly enough.
Yes, it is gaudy and plastic. Covered in a chrome finish.
Yeah, little fake rhinestones.
Yep.
Great, great, great. Penelope, hold out your hand real quick.
Penelope looks to Jamie. Says she whispers and she says, "What does she want to do to me?"
I don't know. She's testing something.
She looks at you and she says, "Will it hurt?"
I don't know.
She does not put out her hand.
I mean, it's the only way I can test this without a... Have I seen Penelope eat?
You have. She eats the red roots.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Jesus.
And Francine eats the same thing?
Francine does eat the same thing. Though, okay. You have noticed that Francine's bathroom habits were a bit different.
Ah,
fun. In that she has them.
Yeah, has to go. I got it.
Yeah, it wasn't something that really came up. You probably figured that Penelope was just more discreet about things, but...
Yeah.
So, okay. Rosaries, sunlight. Okay. This is going to sound fucking crazy. I think Penelope's a vampire. Just, you know.
What's crazy about that?
I don't want to hear that from you, Jamie.
Penelope's, like looking terrified.
Do you think she's a mole person and a vampire? Or do you think...
Okay. Here's the deal. I don't know. She has a really slow heartbeat, like really slow, and sunlight burns. I don't know if vampires are actually real or not, but if they are, Penelope is one. That's all I'm gonna say.
Penelope says, "No. My heartbeat's fine. It's fast. Feel."
Yeah. No, I already checked. So, quick question, Penelope. You remember getting bit by anybody? Like, in the neck? I can't believe I'm saying this.
She shakes her head.
Great.
Oh, you of course still, once again, note the differences in Penelope's appearance. Penelope, for one, has long hair, as none of the other mole people seem to have any. Although her center teeth are extended, the face isn't as pulled away from the jaw as with the other mole people. The head isn't quite as rounded, and the ears aren't as extended.
I hate out of character knowledge. I hate it so much. Does anyone have occults?
I do.
I've got lots of occults, but it wouldn't tell me specific things about specific sects of specific vampires.
Does anyone have occult 4?
Yeah.
Val's gonna try another test.
I've got occult 4. But I don't think that would tell me what I need to be knowing.
You know that some vampires drastically change their appearance when they become vampires. Exactly how that is or how that works or what their names are is not known.
Okay, can't try the cross test. All right, okay, I've got another idea. And Val pulls out a utility knife and slices her palm. And watches for Penelope's reaction.
Well, at least sanitize it first.
Too late for that, but don't worry, I have antibiotics.
Penelope slowly moves closer to you and she says,
"No, get away." And she takes another step towards you. Do you move away?
No, but I get ready to get into grapple.
I think you should get back, Val. Penelope, calm down. It's okay.
She tries to take a step back. And she's sort of frozen there. She says, "Go away, Valerie."
Looking tasty, I'm guessing.
Go away, Valerie.
You should probably go.
Valerie, I think you've proved your point.
All right. Vampire. There you go. Didn't know they existed, but hey. And Val's going to leave to bandage up her palm.
Penelope moves back into the darkness of the tunnel and is about 10 steps back and just hides her face.
Hey, Penelope, if you're going to come up with us, maybe we should go get you some more roots. So you're not tempted to eat anybody before we can figure out a safe way for you to feed.
She brings out a little bag. It is roughly the size of a fanny pack. It is full of the roots.
Cool.
Post assisting bandaging time, Oliver would like to ask Jamie something very briefly.
Go for it.
Jamie, I've been having a heck of a time. Remember how you said you could do that brain scanny thing? Could you do that to Francine? Tell me if you see anything wrong.
Francine looks over at you and she says, "Oliver, there's nothing wrong. Don't worry about me. I'm better than I've ever been in my life."
I would definitely, I think Oliver jumps because he didn't know she was there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we could totally scan her if you want.
Of course nothing's wrong, Francine. Just making sure for your health. Want to make sure you're tip-top shape before we go topside.
It's not important. I'll do it if you ask, but it's not important.
Well, it's very important to me, so I want you to follow through and stay still while Jamie looks at you.
Okay.
Oliver looks at Jamie and gives her, like, a gritted teeth face.
I have no idea what that means, but I'm like, okay, sure, let's do this.
Okay, what are you looking for?
What I tell Jamie to look for is there anything overtly wrong with her brain?
And you're using Prime to do this?
Yeah, trying to see if there's magic that's affected her brain.
There is magic that's affected her brain. You do not need to roll.
Wow. Check that out.
Yep.
I was also thinking more, because Oliver is convinced that, like, he understands the mind pretty well, but I think he would know that Jamie has a bead on things that are soul-y.
As in, is there a soul still there? Yes, it is still a person that has a soul.
Okay. Oliver nods. That's good to hear. Yeah.
Hey, Elf.
Yes.
Am I able to scry yet?
You are.
Wonderful.
What's your method of scrying?
This is, what I was kind of going to get to. But while all that is going on downstairs, I would like to scry on some of the last family that I am aware that I have, my Aunt Nellie.
Did you even meet your Aunt Nellie?
Yes, I did.
They were only married in the past 10 years or so.
Yep.
Okay. Give me a willpower roll.
Alrighty. And I would like to go about doing this by finding some kind of reflective surface. Maybe, busted chunks of my phone or a window or a mirror or something, etc. And looking through that.
Okay.
Hey. 2, 4, 5, 6 successes.
You appear to be seeing through her eyes as you see her peeling the skin off a corpse.
With a scalpel and some tools. The environment is filthy, to say the least. Except a few seconds later, you realize that the body that she is pulling the skin off of is alive.
Oh.
And a few seconds later, a man in a black suit, very trim, very neat, walks down a set of stone stairs nearby. And he says, "Close your eyes, please. There seems to be someone in here with us." And then the mirror goes dark. And a few seconds later, the mirror returns to be a mirror. You heard some muttered incantation when the mirror was dark, and then it vanishes.
Ha! Ha ha! Okay! Did I get a look at the person's face that she was, degloving?
Only the side of their face. It was rather scabbed. It was a bald person. You don't know whether you'd be able to recognize them, but it certainly wasn't. You certainly did not recognize them as anyone you know. You don't even know if you saw them, in a better condition, if you'd be able to recognize them from that view.
Wonderful. Okay. This is going to cause me to take so much sanity damage later. I'm going to run back downstairs and find my journal that I have canonically established that I have for writing stories and write down every detail I can remember from what just happened.
Excellent. All right. Did anyone else have any urgent business they wish to deal with before the car arrives?
I want to see if there were any of these damn rituals that I might use or have been using.
I would like to engage my past sight that happens when I'm sleeping, for instance, not necessarily for anything in particular. Although there is a black-eyed man in ODD that I'm kind of interested in, and also the track of Mr. Mammon.
Don't you mean a black-eyed man in Reno?
A black-eyed man in Reno, then.
And what are you trying to see?
More or less, I'm trying to track his path. I'd like to see the direction he's gone in.
Do you have correspondence or just time?
Just time.
That would only tell you whether he's ever been here, and he has not.
Got it. I'd also like to take a long, hard look in the mirror to try and see if anything external has acted upon my mind.
Okay. In what time scale?
Let's just say since we left ODD.
I don't think anything in particular has. Has anybody tried to use mind stuff to change your mind, not just to read it?
That's a negative? All right, cool. Just making sure. I don't think this qualifies as a normal day at work. Yeah, okay. All right, I'm good.
Okay.
Otherwise, Vincent's been mostly pretty quiet. But yeah, in whatever time there's been, he's tried to just be near the obviously very inconsolable Murph and not bother her by saying much, but just be in there.
Okay.
I also have things I need doing.
What is that?
I do want to speak to Jamie about something specific and involving spirits, and I would like to do Abyssal Communion. I have questions.
Let's deal with the Jamie part first.
Yes, the Jamie part first, for sure. It's probably after things have sort of calmed down a little.
Well, as things are calming down, someone's arriving.
Oh, I thought they weren't arriving until sundown.
That is what people thought.
Okay. All right. Never mind then. We'll say this is probably on the walk up.
There's never time for us to talk. It's okay.
Hey, Jamie, you got a second?
Sure. What you need, Val?
Hypothetical question. If there were a specific spirit or life form or something in a plane, say the void, would you be able to locate it?
Do you got a name for it? Or if you don't have its name, do you know what it does?
I know her name, yes.
Probably, maybe. I'd give it an 80% chance of working. But there's a lot of spirits that pretend to be things, so you're just as likely to run into a pretender, if not more likely, than to run into the real thing.
Also, you would, without correspondence, you cannot locate the spirit, but you can call to it.
I only have correspondence one, but I do have correspondence.
A two would be required to locate it, but you could call, put out a general call, and the spirit is the most likely thing to answer.
I relay that to Val.
Oliver is very persuasive. He has correspondence too.
So do I. And I know who you're looking for.
Is there anything that would help call this specific spirit, pictures, something like that?
Yeah, anything that would help you hold a focus of the spirit in your mind, or allow you to tune into the idea of the thing's being or what it does, then yeah, definitely those things would help.
Okay, well,
who do you want to contact?
Val thinks for a long minute. My sister, but we'll figure that out once we settle. Thanks, Jamie. And Val walks away to do her Abyssal Communion.
Okay. As a long silver SUV is pulling up, you see that the driver is leaning way back in the seat as he approaches. He's leaning way back in the seat. And as he gets closer, you see that he's driving with his feet.
Is that Eden?
As he pulls up. God. Struggles for a few seconds to get out of the car. It is Eden.
Oh my god!
He's wearing camo sort of fatigue pants and a vest. One of his sort of a prosthetic hook arms reaches into the driver's side seat, and he comes out and he walks up to Oliver and hands him a bag.
Eden, you son of a bitch, where you been?
Just been working.
Well, clearly. You should have gotten a better arm than this. You know, my craftsmanship isn't that good. What do we got here?
I've been through a lot of the prosthetics. I don't like them. They feel so awkward. Yeah, here's cell phones, some fresh bought underwear.
I could use it.
And
I look over at Oliver.
And
you could use it too, Vincent. Don't look at me like that.
Passports.
Huh. Thought of everything then.
All right. What's my new name?
Your new name is Miranda Waltz. And Oliver, your name is listed as Enrique Guevara.
Maltan.
Maltan, wasn't that?
Montal.
Oh, yes. Enrique Montal. Yes. Murph, you are Jenna Weissman.
Wonderful.
Everyone make sure to write these down because I'm not remembering them. Val? Cassandra Tyne.
Ain't nobody gonna believe that's my actual name, given how Hispanic she is, but okay.
And Vincent, Jenyoung Chong.
I work an eyebrow up.
Eaton says, are they okay?
Yeah, I don't know how believable mine is, Eaton.
He looks over at it and he shrugs.
Well, maybe they had to use dead people or something. Shit, I suppose.
So I guess that means we're moving on early?
I hadn't expected you guys here to be here for 4 hours. I mean, we can leave when you want, but the idea was leave at night. I just wanted to get here early.
Well, that's a fine trade of yours, Eaton.
He nods.
How far are we from the border, Eaton?
We're just right outside San Diego, 100 miles.
Val definitely goes tense at that. San Diego, huh? She looks up at the sky with like a really look, pinches the bridge of her nose and goes, I'm guessing we're driving right through, huh?
That's the plan.
Any time for us to grab some fast food, maybe?
We're not due at our destination for, let me check, 4 days.
And what's the travel time on that, Eaton? 1 day? More?
Says, could do it by driving all night, but comfortable, 3 days. Uncomfortable, 2.
Right. Well, I don't have too many strings attached in San Diego. Anyone want to accomplish anything in the States before we skedaddle?
Val started pacing.
I've just been, like, super composed, not falling to pieces, but mostly staring middle distance and, like, tune in. I think I have a phone to replace.
Oh, here's yours. Hands you the phone from the bag, I assume.
Yep. And Eaton says, if you guys wouldn't mind giving me yours.
Hold on, let me erase some things first.
I wouldn't worry about that. He goes motions over to a box.
Val has not been listening.
He leans over and picks up the box and walks up to each of you with the box open. Says, your phone.
Vincent plops his in, no problem.
Yeah, I throw a phone in there.
Same.
I gesture in the distance towards the exploded pieces.
Don't make him go pick it up. I'll get it for you, Eaton.
I that was more of an implication of the fact that it's destroyed.
Says,
I'll take care of it.
He runs over to the spot where you smashed your phone. And he's up picking up little bitty pieces of a phone one at a time.
I'm helping.
Okay.
It's absurd.
And after that, he takes the box over and he puts it in a little, what looks like, vaguely like a little refrigerator in the back trunk area of the SUV. And he plugs that into a little cigarette lighter. And
microwave those phones.
A few seconds later, some smoke is coming out of a little valve on there. And afterwards he opens it up and there's nothing but ash.
Wow. Well, Eaton, if we're not in an immediate hurry, would you mind driving me to go grab some grub before sundown?
Yeah.
We've had nothing but travel rations for about 10 days now. And pancakes.
He nods.
Murph, would you like more pancakes?
Yeah, sure.
There's a IHOP about 5 miles down the road. That good for you?
Yeah, some pancakes will do just fine, Eaton.
Let's go.
Val has not been listening.
Gently guided to car.
Very nearly gets punched before she's like, sorry. What's going on?
Pancakes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
With fresh syrup this time. That's what we forgot.
Uh-huh.
Rex is whining and pacing.
What's up, buddy?
He just keeps on looking at you. You look down at him. He jumps up and puts his paws on your shoulder and licks you in the face.
Can I roll to see if I can interpret? I'm assuming that this is a feel better.
It appears to be he is experiencing distress at your emotional state.
Aha. Yeah. Hey, easy, buddy. Easy. Down. Okay. Yeah. You're a good boy. Is Armando staying?
No, Armando seems to be going too.
Okay, we were heading out early, essentially.
Actually, I'm sorry. Armando is staying there.
Okay. Armando, can you keep an eye on Rex? Don't let Penelope near him.
Do you think vampires eat dogs?
I don't know. I'd rather not test it.
Penelope looks horrified in the shadows deep beneath the house. Armando says, are you guys coming back?
Yeah, we'll be back in a couple of hours at most.
He nods and he says,
okay.
Want anything?
He nods, says, where are you going?
IHOP.
IHOP? A liquor store? I don't know.
Anywhere you like. We can stop by from any place.
He says, I'm in the mood for Chinese.
All right, then. We pile up into the car and go to whatever pancake house is closest.
There is a gas station with an IHOP next Ooh. To it.
Classy.
And there's two houses across the street. And that is what there is.
In the car, I want to see if the phones we have like the numbers of the other phones already programmed into them.
It has a number of numbers in there. None of them are super obvious who they are.
Under the auspice of getting everybody to label their phones so we can call each other if we need to, Oliver is going to text Val, hey, what's up?
All of you your given names are in there with each other. Also, there's four other numbers in there besides you guys's.
Eaton, what are these numbers about? Do you know?
That one right there just says that one's Samuel's. I think that one there is Mrs. Finn. I don't know the other two.
Right.
I call the first one of the other two.
Oh my god! Yes, you beat me to it. I will say Val definitely deletes Mrs. Finn's. Almost deletes Mammon's.
Okay, you're calling the first one. The first one of the other two numbers, and the voice on the other end said,
"Did someone call for help?"
Who's this now? I can barely hear you.
This is Help speaking.
Help? Like tech support?
Yeah. Do you have a problem?
I didn't know who I was calling. I just got the phone. I didn't know whose number this was offhand.
All right. Well, is there anything I can help you with, Miranda?
Oh, nothing right now. Thank you, though.
Okay. Please keep this line open in case of emergencies.
Okay. I relay my experience and that this person knows my new alias. I have no idea what the fuck that means.
Okay.
I try the next number.
Yeah?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God!
Hello?
Hey, what do you want?
I don't know. Who's this?
Wait, you called me.
Right?
Wait, did I call you? Fuck.
No, I called you from my phone.
Okay, then why are you asking me who I am? You called me. Who the fuck are you?
I got a number with no name. What's your name?
This week it's Chris.
Okay, Chris. Sounds good. I'll save it.
Okay.
All right.
You need something?
No, I'm all good. I was just trying to figure out who this number was.
Okay.
All right. I'm Miranda, by the way.
Yeah. Hi, Miranda. That's what it says right here. So, yeah, we're good.
Okay. Bye, Chris.
Bye.
My God.
Getting the band back together, yes.
Hey, maybe Andy and Nelly are still working together.
Perhaps. I mean, she was... okay, carry on.
But partaking in things that Andy would probably think...
For sure.
At least would find entertaining.
Let's be honest. I don't think Andy has a gentle enough touch to do what she was doing.
That is patience. True.
You're right. Andy would bash the face open.
He'd try the first way, then he'd get like 10 seconds and just, this takes too fucking long.
I'm going to give him the hammer.
Oh, that's perfect. Can I just say I love how we were all very delighted immediately.
Yep.
It was amazing.
Did anyone else have a call to make while the others are eating their foods?
Val absolutely considers it and barely eats.
Oliver is annoyingly texting Val.
What is his most recent text?
The first one was, hey, you up? But the second one was, no, really, how you doing?
I think that's maybe enough to get Val out of her funk. She just gives a withering look to Oliver across the table before texting back, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Oliver is just carrying on normal conversations, but basically sends back, too late for that. If you need anything, trapped in the same house together.
How are you handling the Francine situation?
Definitely bandana and sunglasses currently.
Okay.
Sort of offering to let her try some normal people food, see if that goes down well or if it's bad for her.
Val definitely texts, are we seriously bringing her along?
In the text, it's, speaking of which, I might need your help with this.
So Francine asks, do you really want me to eat this?
Oh no, it was just an offer. I don't know.
I can eat this.
Question is not, can you eat it? It's, do you want to?
Oh God, no.
Then don't.
She nods.
Now, are we going to run into problems with you running out of roots, is my question.
I can dig for roots. I can smell them.
Good to know.
You have to know where to look.
I try to not start crying into my pancakes, because my pancake breakfast ritual was, of course, brought about by my dad making pancakes.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Everybody's broken.
Oliver's being probably the most obnoxious person at this meal, just like definitely putting on a strong facade of this is a good time for everyone, right?
Is Jamie there, or did Jamie stay back with Penelope?
No, I went.
And so it was just Armando and Penelope that were left back at the house?
And Rex.
All right, Dan?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and make a phone call when I get the chance to a certain man in Reno.
All right. You step outside?
Yeah.
The number is already in your phone, and he answers.
Hey there, old pal. Shit. You know, I was parting last time under the assumption I wouldn't be hearing from you, and you wouldn't be hearing from me no more, but,
Wait. A different man in Reno. Okay, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, his number is not in your phone.
His number is not in my phone.
No, but you know it.
Yeah.
You wrote it down somewhere, I'm sure.
Yes, I did.
Says,
I had been under that assumption as well. Is there anything else that I need that you need my help with?
Well, I was curious if we might be able to make a little bit of an exchange.
I'm always interested.
I got some business going on south of the border. Can text you the coordinates, far as I know them, if you want. I got some plans in mind, ones I think might interest a man of your particular persuasion.
Hold on a second. Do you mind if I call you back?
Go right on.
He hangs up the phone, and it rings again.
I pick up.
The sound just seems like static for a second. Then it feels as if you hear a voice in the static, that you hear his voice in the static. And he says,
this should be a more secure way of speaking.
All right. So it is then.
Yes. Can you tell me more about this? I'm intrigued, but I'm going to have to know some more details if I'm going to be able to make any use of this information.
I got me a woman on hand. A woman who, she can do things, Jay. Sort of things I think a man like you might know about. Sort of strange things. She, can cook up darkness. Do you know what I mean? She can pull it out of places you wouldn't expect.
That is an impressive talent. I would be interested in speaking with this individual. Perhaps I could find a suitable employment for her.
You know, if you offered her the right gig, she just might take you up on that. See, she's looking to kill God. Does that strike you as funny or interesting?
I have found great fortune in surrounding myself with ambitious people. She sounds like quite an ambitious person.
Yeah, I think that to go through with it, she might need a little bit of convincing and maybe even a little bit of help to see through with her research. I think I got a few tools of my own that might help her in these endeavors.
If you would like, I think it would be best if you would offer for her to contact me. If I were to be too forward, it might be seen as an imposition, and I do not wish to impose.
Right, right. I am aware that a man like you does know how to offer such things in a way that appeal. Mm-hmm.
The first step, though, is it'd be likely to be helpful if she were to reach out.
All right. You got it. We'll get it done. Nice talking to you, Jay. Always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm going to hang up the phone and call another man in Reno.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. This one was one who I was trying to track recently.
Oh, okay.
Are you sad that I'm just not going for Andy immediately?
No, that's not who I'm expecting at all.
I'm interested in who you're expecting. I mean, there is...
That's the third call on your list, huh?
I do want to say that while Vincent is out, there is a conversation that will be happening at that table.
Oh, for sure. Can I just say, out of character, Vincent, are you trying to kill all of the rest of my family?
I'm trying to help Val achieve her goals.
You have a curse on you to not make any more deals with the devil, Vincent.
Oh, good point.
But you're just finding different devils.
Yeah, I found new ones. Also, do I know that I'm cursed?
No, not. Actually, when that was made, Murph couldn't even curse.
Yep. I did an improvised thing.
And
she did the same one to me.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. Cool. Well, your phrasing is different, but anyway. Carry on.
You definitely think that it was a pinky promise to a version of Murph that hadn't even murdered anybody yet.
Yeah, I ain't gonna worry about that then. And if it does start to bother me, I'll just normal it out of me if possible.
True.
The worst.
So you're contacting Mook number two?
Yeah, I'm contacting Mook number two.
The guy answers his phone.
Who is this?
You know who it is.
That guy from Little Town? Dirtwitch?
Have you thought about what we spoke on?
I've been thinking about a lot of things.
Yeah? You know how it feels. You know how it is. It's not right to be sitting on the edge of a knife like this. It's like trying to bite down on barbed wire, making it through the day when you're caught in between.
It's not quite like that for me. I guess I'm sitting on a bridge too, but it's on one side is life and the other side is just dark. Dark stretches on forever. I don't think it's death. I don't think that's what I'm looking at. It's something bigger.
I've got a lot of it in me, friend, and it feels right. It feels... I've got so much of all that empty in me, and it's... I feel strong. I feel like... You can do this with me, man. You don't have to keep walking down that bridge. You got someone you can crawl down the other side with. Someone who'll work with you. Someone who gets it, understands.
So what? You want to go get a beer and talk about the infinite void?
I want to go find the void, and I think I got a way.
Well, I haven't had much work lately. I don't see why not. Sure, I'll meet you there.
I'll send you the approximate coordinates where I'm headed.
Coordinates? Like, not like an address? Where the hell are we going?
South of the border.
Shit. All right, I got my papers in order, so it shouldn't be a problem.
All right. See you there.
Yeah. I didn't get your name.
No. No, you didn't.
I hang up my phone.
And then I will call one Samuel Mammon.
All right.
So I had a long list to take care of.
Got a lot of phone calls to make. Got a backlog. Backlog of business.
I've been holding back most of the last two adventures until things were going on, because Vincent's checklist is very different than everybody else's right now.
This is very true. No, I have no issue with this. I just wanted to make sure that this was one of the calls.
Yes, indeed. I'd give him a ring.
Okay.
Hello.
Mr. Mammon, it's good to hear from you again.
Vincent, I had been hoping that you would reach out.
Yeah, I'd been interested in talking to you as well. There's a few new items of business that I thought we might want to discuss.
Very well. Perhaps it would be wise if I was to listen to before I speak. Say whatever's on your mind.
All right. Well, don't get me wrong. I know we still have some unfinished business, but I may have created a few more problems for you inadvertently. You see, there's a dead man in a system of caves running along the southern border of the United States of America who said that if I managed to kill him and he was to inhabit that condition for longer than he usually did, that I should get a hold of you. So I'm doing you a courtesy call.
So that was you?
Man, you... Shit, you got eyes everywhere, ain't you, Mammon?
I try not to reveal my sources, so it seems that you have a certain talent.
Yeah, I can hurt things most people can't.
And I believe that we had a balance that you'd be interested in clearing off your books, if I recall.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested in taking care of that.
What I'm going to ask is something that might be potentially upsetting to you. So if you should decline it, I want you to know that there would be no repercussions, and we'll simply continue our relationship, and you can wait for a later opportunity. This is not something that that I will demand, but I will tell you that should you be able to do this for me, I will consider your debt well more than repaid.
Damn, what does more than repaid look like to a man like you?
Well, I guess the question is what you'd like. If it's some simple means, money or fame or women or men, whatever you desire, I imagine that I could arrange for such compensation.
I just want whatever I need to not have to serve nobody again.
If money will do that, then fine. Either way, your debt to me will be decidedly repaid.
All right. What's this job?
When you get to the end of your travel, there will be a man who meets you. He will be familiar to you, though I will not yet tell you who he is. You'll know. I would like you to shoot him. I would like that shooting to be fatal.
All right. Ain't like I ain't done quite a bit of that already, ain't I?
Good.
Yeah, you got yourself a bargain, man, and I'll take care of your 86th compadre, and we'll be more than square, as you put it. And I will work on what more than paid back looks like afterwards. All right.
Good. I look forward to our future discussion.
Good night, Mr. Mann.
Good night.
I hang up the phone, and I'll go back inside.
All right, and back
there,
inside.
Yes, was a discussion.
What is this discussion? Frame it for us, please.
Yes. Val's going to start this discussion. Once Vince is out, now that Val is kind of a bit more available mentally, he's going to tap the table. Take a deep breath, and then in Spanish, so we need to stay in San Diego for a little bit, maybe a day, two.
Well, Armando said a day would be fine. Something you need to do?
She's going to glance at Murph and then continue speaking in Spanish.
Just sadly poking pancakes.
That works for me. I guess this won't be a surprise. Is Eaton listening, and is he understanding?
He seems to be listening. You're not sure whether he understands or not.
Hmm. It's not going to come as a surprise. I think I fucked up when keeping Vincent alive. I think, and I'm pretty sure this is true, but I think something else is there. Don't know if you've noticed any odd behavior. I think he might be possessed.
Okay. I normally keep my grubby mind mitts off of him because he pushes real hard. Are you saying I should try to confirm, or are you
no.
sure?
No, don't. Oh. There, Jamie?
Yeah?
Exorcisms? Is that a thing you can do?
Not a thing I could do. Not that I'm aware of, no.
No. Is there anything that... Because this seems more your...
So why do you think he's possessed? I'm confused.
I can tell that there is something else in there. And he's still in there. He's still there. There's some part of him that's still there. Probably it feels like he's being held back. All these strange... I'm not going to call it what we're all thinking about them that we can do. He can stop them. And that's a problem. And I think I know how... If we can just get whatever else it is that is inhabiting his body with him out, I think they'll be fine. I have some ideas. They're not very good ideas, but...
Well, lay them out. We can brainstorm. We're smart people. Well, at least the two of you are.
San Diego. It's my hometown. I know where we can probably find some... empty warehouses, and you can't unmagic ketamine. I can knock him out. Something needs to happen while he's knocked out to fix my mistake.
I don't think you made a mistake. As far as I can tell, he's good to go. What's off about him?
Is it just me, Oliver?
I mean, I wouldn't have immediately pegged it, but he did seem awfully keen on shooting a fella, which I initially anticipated a bit of pushback on.
Val is going to switch to English. Murph?
Real quick, can I wits insight their faces and body language to try to determine if the level of importance of this secret conversation?
That is not hard. It is, they are using serious tones of voice. And, well, there is no Spanish word for Vincent.
Okay, yep. Murph, if I tell you something, if I ask you something, will you promise not to freak out?
I'm the perfect example of calmness, Val. What's wrong?
Vincent seems off, right?
Obviously.
Okay, so it's not just me, then. I think he's possessed.
Uh-huh, and we're gonna get Mrs. Finn's help to fix him.
I don't think having her involved is a good idea. Especially Vincent can, and I explained to Murph about what Val knows about Vincent's nope powers.
Right.
What do you know about his nope powers?
Just that he can, like I said, unmagic, quote unquote. God, I hate that word. None of it's magic. It's not magic. Just that he can stop these things. He told me himself, don't ask any more about that conversation.
Okay, so I mean this in the nicest way possible. Well, maybe not nicest way possible. It's not a nice thing to say. Do you think that yourself and this group that broke him into the way that he is now are the best people to try to fix him?
I'm still unclear as to what part of him needs fixing. I'm not following. What's off about him, guys?
People I know are not your specialty. There's some kind of something wrong with him. Like, either he's possessed, or I've noticed and in some conversations that we've had recently that he has like this, there's like a split, right? Where like part of it is definitely Vincent talking, and part of it is like not Vincent, if that makes sense.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. But Murph, I get it. I get that you don't want me dealing with this, and That's why I came to you guys rather than just trying to fix it myself, but this was a mistake I made. It was my fuck up. I'm not going to let him live like this if I can help it. And if we can just knock him out, and I think right. I can do that.
Whoa. I think that you should help fix it. I don't think it was entirely your fault that it happened in the first place, but I would be lying if I said that I didn't think you had a hand in it. But you've already said that he can, like, undo the stuff that we can do. So shouldn't we have people that are more powerful help? Also, if it doesn't work and we end up killing him and it's entirely our fault, gonna have to live with that.
True, Murph. Oliver also like raised his hand when guilt was being discussed. Murph, you understand, not long ago, maybe it was a while ago actually, you made me pinky promise against deals with devils.
Huh?
Now I know she ain't mammon, but Miss Finn, just about as close as you can get. And
are you just saying that because she opposed us in the fight for the town? Or you got some evidence that she's actually some sort of devil or demon?
Oh, no. She's not a demon herself. But she certainly has power that she wields over others in a at least somewhat malicious fashion.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, don't we all?
Look, if we can figure out how to get it out of him, I can handle the rest. And I fix my mistakes. And if I don't get your help, I don't know if taking him over the border like this is a good idea. I think we have an opportunity here.
I think all of our options are horrible here. I mean, taking Oliver to the woman that he helped outside of a town, there's a good chance she's going to kill him on sight. I think it's a horrible idea for him to go. I'm amazed
good
he's going
point,
with us.
Jamie, and I was hoping that we would get to this point.
But I'm going to support all of you guys, including Vincent. If I started acting a little off and you guys said, oh, Jamie's possessed by a spirit, I'd be pretty pissed off if you guys knocked me out and the next thing I know there's some sort of weird exorcism going on in a warehouse.
Yeah, so exactly.
Maybe we need some outside verification on this.
Right. That's exactly my point. You guys are, and I looked at Oliver and Belle, you guys are very, very good at what you do. And I trust you implicitly, of course. I'm just kind of afraid that the medicine that has been used so far has kind of had a hand in what has happened to him. And I want to have some outside, you know, call it backup, just in case.
Now, I understand that impulse, but also that medicine may murder me. Just
I'm
putting
sorry?
It out there.
What now?
You're talking about Mrs. Finn, are you not?
Well, yeah. Why would she murder you?
Because I took her town away from her.
Yeah, and I killed her husband.
I'm pretty confident she wasn't terribly torn up about that. It would be like you killing my pet snail. I might be peeved. I did long time ago. Doesn't matter. Something that I had very little emotional connection to, but gave me some enjoyment.
Was its name Shelley? I bet its name was Shelley.
This is not the point of this conversation.
Fine. Just pointing out the opportunity we have here to, you know, help our friend who we screwed over. I screwed over.
Wait, no, so it's definitely a we. We just all kind of had a hand on it.
It was Oliver in danger. I opened the portal. You did the doctoring. It was definitely a group effort.
I pointed you in his direction.
May I recommend a half measure or perhaps a stepping stone?
Eaton breaks in for a second.
He was there.
He says, I don't mind me interrupting, but I don't think that Mrs. Finn will be too much of a problem.
Now, why is that, Eaton?
Well, Mammon wants this thing to go down. I don't entirely know what it is, but he wants to go down. He wants to go down clean. He doesn't want a lot of problems, and he's told everybody who's supposed to be any one place. As far as I understand, Mrs. Finn knows that not trying to murder other people that are working for Mammon is kind of part of the deal. He doesn't look too good on that.
Well, that makes me a mite more comfortable knowing that she's got some even more drastic spook above her.
She doesn't work for him. She just owes him something.
Right. Well, hopefully that outweighs it. It's still very dangerous. Anyway, we could perhaps not, under the guise of him helping us, invite Vincent into another dream counseling session, possibly to help Murph. I know things have been rough for you, leaving town with all your family, and all that with Miss Finn as well.
Oh, yeah. My dad died 9 days ago, apparently.
Shit.
I'm sorry. That's terrible. What?
Yeah, Murph. That's crazy. Had he been sick long?
I had no idea, because I was out here.
Eaton looks at you and he says, yeah, that's rough. I was there.
Not literally. You mean like you lost somebody?
Yeah. I mean, my dad.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if it's completely, like, sunk in yet.
Oh, it won't. Give that about 2 weeks.
I'll put it in my calendar.
I still need a day in San Diego, Eaton, so if y'all need to move on without me, you move on without me. I'll just, I'll catch up.
Not supposed to leave anybody hanging if I can help it. So how about we just help you get done whatever you need to get done?
Sure. And Val goes quiet and not eating her food again. That did not go how she planned.
Is Vincent currently...
Has it literally ever gone down
how she planned?
And nope. Vincent walks back in the room.
Wonderful. Okay.
Oliver will at some point during this meal realize that he hasn't contacted the nursing home for several months. And will go outside and call.
Whom are you calling?
The nursing home where his parents are.
Okay.
Just to check in on them, see how they're doing.
The nurse answers and you ask to be transferred to your mother or your father?
Neither. He just asks the nurse for a status update.
Oh, he says that they're both rather content, but you know, they have good days and bad. Some days they're not entirely present, but other days they ask about you.
Is today a good day?
Says, maybe a better day for your father.
Could you go ask him if he wants to talk?
Hold on. A few minutes later, man answers the phone.
Who is this?
Hola, padre. ¿Qué tal?
Are you speaking in Spanish or English?
Spanish. Dropping all the fake accent.
Yes.
Oh, it's my son. My son calls me.
Yes, I know it's been a while.
Oh, has it been a while? I just assumed that my son had died.
You always assume that.
Hey,
still disappointing? Or is it becoming a refreshing change?
I don't know, son. Have you gotten a job yet?
Yes. I am a doctor at a mine. Or I was, briefly.
Doctor? Don't you need to go to, like, medical school? I didn't pay for any medical school.
Oh, no. I paid for myself. Got me myself a diploma and everything.
Are you selling me more bullshit?
Always, Papa.
Okay. My son's a doctor. Your mother will be ecstatic.
Oh, no need to bring her in on that. It will only make her upset.
Oh, she always wanted you to do something besides try and sell people garbage.
Well, I can safely say I have saved some lives.
Oh,
he goes quiet for a second.
Hey, son.
Mm-hmm.
You know I always give you shit because I love you.
I know, I love you too.
It's just you think you know what's best for people, and you never listen. You always talk.
Where do you think I learned that from?
Hey, shut the fuck up. I'm old now. You gotta listen to me.
Yeah, Dad. We're both old now.
It's just, you talk so much you never hear what people are saying, and you think you know what's best for everybody, and you tell them what they think is best for them, and they believe you, and you hurt them, son. You don't mean to, but you hurt them.
You got any advice for listening?
Yeah. Maybe you stop telling people so much and you ask them sometimes. Maybe when they tell you things, you stop trying to think of the next thing you're going to say to convince them what you already think you know. Well, that's all. Hey, son?
Yeah?
Sound like you're doing good.
I'm doing better than usual. You still stinking cigarettes?
Hey, don't tell you that. Say that. They're listening.
They better not be bugging the phone. I'll sue their asses off.
Bah. You a lawyer too now?
I was a lawyer long before I was a doctor.
Uh-huh. My son. Doctor. Lawyer. Piano salesman.
Oh, that was one time.
Yeah. Mrs. Garcia, she still talks about it. She still thinks I'm going to show up.
Oliver literally keels over laughing. Is there anything you need, Papa?
Yeah, hey, you ever get to church?
Small town, been trying my hand at preaching occasionally, but you're right, I might have missed the listening part of church.
Yeah.
Maybe well, I'll try again soon.
Yeah, they don't got the right kind of churches around here, but, you know, they got those Lutherans or the whatever they call them.
Well, you can open your mind and listen, Poppy.
Yeah. You ever get in there, you tell the priest something for me.
Sure. What do you want me to pray for you? Or them to pray for you?
Just say that your papi's sorry for Mr. Fuentes.
Sure thing. Say all hi right to Mom. Tell her note. I love her.
I will. You call back. You come talk to her.
Okay.
You come visit. Shit.
When I get a chance.
You're rich now.
You can
afford a ticket.
Sure thing. After this job.
Job. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I hang up.
Note.
What?
You do not know or remember a Mr. Fuentes. You do remember a Mrs. Fuentes who was a widow.
Yeah, I was about to say, I wonder if I know this person or not.
Yeah, so the widow Fuentes, when you were a kid, was a friend of the family, sort of?
Okay.
This was a conversation away from the group, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I went outside.
Cool.
I'm just like wandering around in the parking lot, talking. But you do hear him through the window at some point, just like bust up laughing in a like way that he doesn't normally.
Mm-hmm. Ah, so we can see him outside the window then. Any
yeah
troubling troubling expressions?
There's a little bit of hand waving.
Okay, never mind. No texts sent his way.
Okay.
To the final decision, and the world will break apart today, and the world will break apart today.
Gosh,
yeah, that's Shaggy. Right, Shaggy. That's right, Shaggy, you growl.
I like to imagine that's just Rex.
Uh-huh.
Buddy.
Okay. I think that Shaggy is done commenting.